if you will, I'm going to ask you to find two places in the Word of God. One of them you'll immediately recognize, Matthew chapter number 8, if you will, Matthew chapter number 8. And then also, if you will, just find it. We won't go there right now, but John chapter number 12, if you will. John chapter number 12. But we've been looking, and as I told you on Sunday morning, I want to pursue until I feel like the Lord is directing us in another manner. But I'm interested in this idea of following the Lord or following Jesus and the importance or what aspect it has in the life of the child of God. And we'll begin reading here in verse number 18 in Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 18. We'll begin reading again. We've been using this verse as sort of a springboard to jump through and to go to. And we'll begin reading verse number 18, read down through verse number 23. Then I'll have just a word of prayer, and I'll back up and sort of set the stage and bring you the thought that is on my heart tonight. Amen. Notice here in the Word of God, the Bible said, "And now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus saith unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. And when he had entered into the ship, his disciples followed him." Let's pray. Father, we're indeed grateful for the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Lord, you know the desire of my heart is, Lord, not to just preach a message that wows or somehow pricks the heart and the ears of those that are looking for eloquence or looking for some fancy title or whatever. But Lord, I pray that you would illuminate my mind, that I could get in the Word of God tonight and bring out an area of truth that would find the fertile soil of the heart of the hearer, that in days to come, that it will help them and aid them and be a blessing to them. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise for all that you're doing. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, begin on Sunday morning, we used this text, Matthew chapter 8 and also Luke chapter number 9. And we pointed out how that Jesus is getting ready to go across the Sea of Galilee. And there is a group of individuals, we find out of Luke's account, that there are three separate individuals. And they come and they have an interest in following Jesus. And not only is it, I believe, an interest that they have, but I think it's something that Jesus is interested in. I believe it's something that Jesus desires of mankind to come and follow and come and enter into a relationship with him. And we pointed out on Sunday morning there that as we look in this text, that it serves as an area of warning. In other words, Jesus is not trying to stop them from following, but he wants them to be aware that there are certain criteria, that there are certain aspects that we need to be knowledgeable of if we're going to follow him. And we looked at the price of following, and we looked at the priority of following, and we looked at the persistence of following. But then we pointed out on Sunday night, and what I want to do again tonight, is I wanted to think to myself, well, what ought to motivate us? In other words, as we think about following and we're encouraged to follow, why should we? What should be our motivation? Last night, as we looked into the Word of God, we found out that it's the criteria of salvation. In other words, if a person's going to be saved, they're going to have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, salvation is not rewarded, but salvation is received as a free gift. And when we become like a little child and we come and we trust the Lord Jesus Christ in His finished work there on Calvary. But tonight, as I'm thinking about this idea of motivation, I'm going to ask you, if you will, now to turn over to John. If you will, turn over there to John chapter number 12. And I want to cover what I believe to be a second area that ought to encourage us to be individuals that would want to follow the Lord. Now, not only, as I said, the criteria of salvation, but if you're taking notes, write this down. This idea of following Him, we ought to be encouraged because it is the constraint of the servant. It is the constraint of the servant. Now, notice here in John chapter number 12, and look, if you will, here at verse number 26. And we have here the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what He makes this comment here. He said, if any man serve Me, notice the next words, let him follow Me. And where I am, there shall also My servant be. And if any man serve Me, him will My Father honor. In other words, every one of us, I believe, know that is once we get saved, that you and I ought to become servants and desire to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to desire to live for Him and serve Him. And notice here, this word here in verse number 26, notice the word serve there. It has the idea to be an attendant. And it emphasizes, please get this, it emphasizes the work that is to be done. In other words, it's referring here to the serving that's being rendered to another individual. In other words, Jesus is saying, if a man desires to render service to Me, if a man desires to be My attendant, if a man desires to somehow lavish upon Me to be a blessing to me in service, he says the criteria or the idea of the constraint is he must be willing to follow Him. Now, may I say tonight, and I say it openly and honestly, if you're going to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, may I say the constraint is you must be willing to follow Him. You must be willing to follow Him. And so Jesus here makes this comment. I love this. The idea is that word serve means, as I said, to do good to someone. And here's the glorious thing. The one that we want to do good to is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He's the one that we want to honor. He's the one that we want to do right by. He's the one that we want to do something good directly, whereby we are a help and an encouragement and a blessing to them. But as I thought about this idea of following, I wanted to try to illustrate. In other words, as a servant, and if we're going to help Him, we're going to be a minister to Him, we're going to do good to Him, then we're going to be those servants. What are some lives or in the Bible? Where could we look? And what better place to look on this idea of following than look at the disciples themselves? To look at the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something I want to bring out. I want you to do, if you will, if you're taking notes, write this down. The response to following. Turn, if you will, over and you'll know it, you'll recognize it. Turn over, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 4 just for a moment. Matthew chapter number 4. And in Matthew chapter number 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 17. What we're going to notice here is it's the response to follow. In other words, there has to be a beginning point. In other words, Jesus said, if a man's going to serve me, he must follow him. Well, there must be a beginning. There must be a time that if we're going to serve him and we're going to follow him, there must be a point of origin that all this begins. And so when we're looking at the disciples here, we find in Matthew chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 17, notice what the Bible said. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now I want to pause here just for a moment. Remember what we're talking about on this idea of service. It's to render or do good or to help another. Now you say, well, Brother Bob, what are we to do as the servants of the Lord? What are we to do? What are we to do to help him? What are we to do to benefit him? I'll tell you what we're to do. We're to help him in the spreading of the gospel. We're help him in the idea here when he says that talking about the kingdom of God. In other words, we as the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to follow him, our purpose of following is that we can help spread the gospel, that we can help elevate it and magnify and give glory and honor to who he is.
Amen.
And so he says here in verse number 17, he began to preach repentance for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said, notice this, unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee and their father, mending their nets. And he called unto them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, you say, what do you mean? In other words, there has to be a point that there is a beginning, that there is a response in following. And may I say, you and I wonder, can you go back to a time and a place that you responded to the call of being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? That he began to call and you begin to respond and you begin to follow. You say, well, Brother Bob, what all is entailed here in this following? Well, notice, if you will, in verse number 20 and verse number 22, notice the period of the response. Notice the Bible saying, don't miss this. In verse 20 it says, and straightway.
Yeah.
That word there means at once or immediately or as soon as. In other words, and then notice down there when he calls the other two, notice the Bible said, and immediately it comes from two words. One means to send away or to yield, and the other means at once or to go forth. In other words, they send away immediately following Jesus. Now I wonder tonight, has there been that time in your life that you responded immediately? I wonder, has there been that time when you begin to sense the need to follow, the need to serve, the need that you wanted to be an aid or an attendant or a help or to minister to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? May I say, the season there or the period of the response is immediately. See, the idea is that the Lord wants us to be obedient to what he wants to do in our life. But then notice, not only is there the period of response, but notice, if you will, there's the particulars of following. Not only there is the period of the response, but there's the particulars in following. You say, well, what do you mean? Look in verse number 21, and don't miss it. If you underline this word here, the Bible says there, and going from thence he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their brother, mending their net, and he called unto them. Now notice in verse 22, and they immediately, notice the word left.
Yeah.
In other words, here, when it comes to this idea of following, not only is the response to be immediate, But may I say there's some particulars about following. And you say, what is it? You've got to be willing to leave some things. And here they are. They're willing to leave some things. They're willing to set some things aside. You say, well, Brother Bob, that word left there means to dismiss or to give up. In other words, here they are, and I don't know about you, but I pondered over these. Notice, first of all, they're willing to give up. They're willing to part with possessions. You say, what do they have? Well, they have a ship. They have nets. They have, in other words, they have accumulated wealth that is here. And they're willing to part in order that they can follow, that they can serve. And I made mention of it on Sunday morning. There is a cost in serving the Lord. In other words, there's a price to be paid. And so here they are, the particulars of following. It requires a leaving or dismissing or yielding up positions. But notice something else there in the verse. Look at verse 4. Not only did they leave ship and did they leave the nets, but notice this. They left their father and they left the servants. In other words, they left individuals. In other words, you'll have to forgive me, but there's an understanding that there's going to be times that one must separate themselves from folks that are very near and dear to your heart. I remember one time we were in a particular meeting there was a particular family had surrendered to be missionaries. And there was a lady, she was very vocal there after the service, and she openly admitted. She said, well, I tell you what, I don't want God to call my daughter or my son to be missionaries. I don't want to lose my grandkids. Well, the truth of the matter is, I'd rather have somebody living in the will of God and me having a long-distance relationship than to have somebody out of the will of God living next door to me. See, if there's going to be this response to following, there needs to be immediate. In other words, there doesn't need to be a time delay. There doesn't need to be a gap between the time that we sense and become aware of what He wants, that we respond. And then we need to understand there's particulars. There must be a willingness to separate with our positions, separate with people. In other words, He says over there, remember, and I'm not going to preach it, but write the reference down. Luke chapter number 14. And verse number 25 down through verse 27. And Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 37 down through verse number 39. He talks about how that there must be a willingness to leave father and mother and houses and lands for my sake. And in giving up even his life also. If we're going to follow him. And so I wonder tonight, and I ask you very openly and honestly. Has there been a beginning? Has there been a response and following in your life? In other words, have you started following the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you're going to be a servant of Him, this is the thing that you need to understand. The constraint of a servant is you must be willing to follow Jesus. But then you and I know, as we look at the disciples, you and I know that they followed Him, they served Him, they were given responses and they were given opportunities, and they went out two by two and they come back and rejoicing, and they're talking about even the devils are subject unto us, and we read all these accounts of the feeding of the 5,000, the raising of Jairus' daughter. We read about the maniac of Gadara. We read about all these great things that they experienced following Jesus. But then we come to a sad part, that after Jesus has died on the cross of Calvary, we find them scattered and running and no longer serving. And finally, even Simon Peter swears with an oath that he doesn't even know Jesus. And ultimately, find, if you will, I want you to turn over to John chapter number 21 just for a moment. John chapter number 21. And I'm talking about this idea of the constraint of a servant. The constraint of the servant is, if you're going to serve, you've got to follow me. And we found over there in Matthew, we found there, as we looked in the Word of God, we saw the response to following. But may I say, when we come to John chapter number 21, we find the rededication of following. I wonder tonight, can you identify with the disciples? Can you identify that there's been times in your life that you've distanced yourself, or you've not been that servant that you know that you want to be or you should be? And you know, I'm glad that we have a God that loves us, and a God of second chance. Amen. And third chance and fourth chance and whatever. And when we come to John chapter number 21, down in verse number 18, we'll be looking at the largest portion of John chapter number 21. But we find the rededication of following. Notice, if you will, in verse number 18, the Bible said, "And verily, verily, I say unto thee, that when thou wast young, and girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou art old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whithersoever thou wouldest go." And this he spake, signifying what death he should die, he should glorify God. And then notice this, "And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me." You know the story. You read the story. You know how that Simon Peter ultimately, even though he responded immediately by the seashore, even though he walked off and left nets and ships, walked off and left father and friends, there came a time in his life that he digressed in his service for the Lord. But when we come here, we find that the Lord is pursuing him. The Lord is wanting to rededicate him, to rededicate, rekindle this idea of following. Now, notice, this is the reason I want you to get this. Why do I emphasize this thought? Please write this down. Because the directive hasn't changed. Did you understand what I said? 3.5 years has transpired between Matthew chapter number 4 and John chapter number 21. 3.5 years of miracles. 3.5 years of watching the dead be raised. 3.5 years of following over across and back across the Sea of Galilee, of traveling to the nation of the Gadareans, and then traveling up and down the coastline and seeing the miracles and seeing the crowds and seeing it all. But all of a sudden, because of sin, all of a sudden they distance themselves from following the Lord. But may I say, in the end, when the Lord meets them there by the fireside, there by the Sea of Galilee, may I say, the directive is still the same. We're still to follow him. He said, follow me. Paul knew this when he wrote, And ye that run the race. He's talking about running a race. He said, ye not know this, he which runneth a race runneth all. In other words, we're in it for the entire race. Let me read you a new, I want you to write this down if you will, and let me trust my reading if you will. But it's found in the book of Philippians, and it's Paul here is writing in Philippians, and you'll know it by heart, Philippians chapter number 3. And let me begin reading of verse number 11. And if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead, what he's talking about, in other words, walking in the power and the newness of resurrected life, And then he makes this comment. Don't get this. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. But listen to these words. But I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which also I am apprehended in Christ Jesus. Now listen to what Paul's saying here. He's saying, I haven't arrived yet. I desire to arrive. I desire to be everything that God wants me to be. But Paul, how are you going to do it? I follow after. I'm still following Jesus. That's the only way that I can be everything God wants me to be. And may I say, dear friend, the only way that you can ever be everything that God wants you to be willing to follow Him. May I say, during those times, maybe there's a laxity. May I say, the need of the hour is to rededicate to following. Be willing to come back and say, okay, Lord, I've messed up, but I want to move forward for you. Now, notice here in John chapter number 21, notice some things that we find that occur in this rededication. Look, if you will, in verse number 15 down through verse number 18. Let me read them to you. May I say, first of all, there's got to be a rekindling of affection. There's got to be a rekindling of affection. Notice what he said in verse number 15. Then, so when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. And he said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Now you say, what's Jesus doing here? I'll tell you what Jesus is doing. Jesus is trying to rekindle the affection of Simon Peter because he wants Simon Peter to know. And I want you to get this. Simon, you've left your first love. Matter of fact, you can study out, I encourage you to. When Jesus asked Simon Peter the first time, he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The word he used for love there is the word agape, or supreme love. And he says to Simon Peter, he already knows what's happened. He knows why he stopped following. He knows why he's got in the shape that he's got in. And that is, he has waned in his affection for the Lord. And the Lord comes to him and saying to Simon Peter, Do you love me supremely? Do you love me with a supreme godly love? And Peter is at least honest enough to say, I love you. And when he said the word love there, it is the word for friendship or filio. And do you know what the Lord finally has to do? The Lord finally changes his word and says to Simon Peter, Peter, am I really your friend and companion? You say, why would he do that? If you really be honest, and I be honest tonight, the reason so many times we falter in following Jesus is the culprit is our affection and love for Him. In other words, when Simon walked away from the boat, walked away from the net, walked away from his father, walked away from his family, you know why he did? Because he had a supreme love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he's going to rekindle that affection, the first thing that he has to do is he has to acknowledge the fact that he doesn't love him like he ought to. And if you're going to follow the Lord and rekindle your relationship with God, the first thing you're going to have to do is admit the fact or come to the area of in your life that you realize, I don't love Him like I used to. You know, there's a story, and I'll give it to you, but you remember the story over there when Jacob went over there to find a bride among Laban. And he got over there, and the lady that he was in love with was named Rachel. And Laban says, it's not right. You ought to have a wage. You can't serve me for naught. And Jacob said, well, I tell you what I do. Now think about this. I'll serve you 7 years for your daughter, Rachel. And you know what it said? It said it seemed as almost it was like a day. It flew by. You say, why? Because of love. Because of devotion that he had to Rachel. And you know the story. You know what happened. He traded out Leah on the wedding night. And he come back and he said, you've tricked me. And he said, well, if you want Rachel, you need to serve 7 more years. And you know what the Bible says? It was like drudgery. You say, what's the difference? There's a difference between serving God out of duty and serving God out of devotion. If we're going to follow Him, and we're going to be the servant that we need to be, and we know there's an area of lackness in our life, the first thing that has to happen is there has to be a rekindling of our affection. And we have to come one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ and admit that there's areas of failure in our life. But then there's a second area. Not only is there a rekindling of affection, but notice in verse number 15 also, down through verse number 18, we must be a reminder of our assignment. In other words, Peter's going to have to be reminded of what he's supposed to be doing. And in other words, notice here, there's the particulars. Notice he says three times, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. In other words, the idea is he has to go back to Simon Peter, and Peter's not going to only have to rekindle his affection, he's going to have to be reminded of the assignment, of the task that he's been given, and get back to work for God. Notice the particulars. But here's what I want you to also notice. In the reminder of this assignment, not only is there the particulars, but I want you to understand it's always personal. Look, if you will, here in verse number 19 down through verse number 22. As they begin to being told, and he begins to rekindle his affection, and he begins to be aware of his responsibility. Look at verse number 19. After I read that, well, it signifies death. And then the Bible said, and then Peter turning, he said unto him, in verse number 19, and he saith unto him, follow me. Look at verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him, he's talking about seeing John. Peter seeing him saith unto Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And look at Jesus' response. And Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now you say, what's your point? Not only when it comes to this idea of reminding us of our assignment that we must know our particulars, but may I say, you and I need to understand this thing is personal. May I say, when it comes to me following the Lord, it doesn't matter what God wants to do with you. It doesn't matter the calling or the direction that God is leading your life. It doesn't matter. I can't worry about what some pastor's doing. I can't worry about what some other evangelist is doing. I can't worry about what some other ministry's doing. It doesn't make any difference. I've got to find out what is my assignment. What is it that God wants for me? And basically what Jesus is saying, Simon, it's none of your business what I want to do with him. Follow me. Rekindle your affection. Find out what it is at the particulars of what I want for your life. And then get busy about doing what I want you to do. But then look, not only is there in this rekindling of affections, and there's a reminder of the assignment. But look there in verse number 22, there's the return to action. He said, follow me. You know, some point in time, you just got to get back in the fight. Some point in time, you just got to get back to work. In other words, it can't be one of them deals that you just continually do that. And look, this is what excites me. Think about this just for a moment. Right here where we're looking at this text in John chapter number 21, and we're looking at verse number 22, you know what's taking place? John is closing out his gospel letter. He's closing it out. He's going to finish it in a couple of more verses. And the most important statement that he has as he closes it out is this: follow me. Amen. Now think about this just for a moment. I'm through. I'm talking about how that this idea is the constraint of a servant. If you're going to serve the Lord, Jesus said, if a man will serve me, he's got to follow me. And somewhere there's got to be the beginning of following. There's got to be a response to the call and the service that we're willing to respond and immediately, and we're willing to pay whatever it is. And then in those times in our life that we find ourselves lax, or we find ourselves somehow coming short in our service for the Lord, in our honoring of the Lord, rekindle our affection and get back to the assignment, and then get busy about action and serving God. That's what he's trying to say. Because the truth of the matter is, from the time that you were saved till ultimately, till the time off into the future when you stand in the presence, there is only one clear, positive command that he has for serving. And that is, follow me. It is the constraint of a servant. If any man will serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. Would you stand, please? Our gracious and most kind Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity to be in the service tonight. And Lord, I pray that somehow you have taking these thoughts tonight and help us to realize that once we have responded in salvation and following, that there is a constraint of the servant, and that is to continue to follow him. There is a directive that never, never changes from here to glory. That is for the child of God to follow him. Lord, I pray tonight that you would seal those truths within our heart and help us to understand and somehow realize the importance of being obedient to this idea of following the Lord. Thank you for these folks that came out. I pray that it's been worth their trip. I pray that they've been helped. And Lord, I pray that you'd have your way in our hearts and lives. See us home safely. Bring us back again tomorrow night at the appointed hour. And we love you and thank you and praise you for all that you're doing. For we ask you, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.